We're going to talk a little bit about the jobs market and the jobs report with our next guest. But he also says that next week, which I find this fascinating, we're going to get two of his favorite real world indicators. Let's find out what they are, see what he does say about this morning's labor report. Jim Lowell is Chief Investment Officer at Advisor Investments. Firm has $5 billion in assets under management. Jim, back with us on the phone from Newton, Massachusetts. Jim, happy Friday. Nice to have you back with Corey and myself. Let's get it out of the way. Jobs report, anything that you think investors should take note of?
Well, I think the things investors should take note of are that more people are employed and wages are, even though tepid, trending in the right direction for a slow growth, not no growth economy like ours, and for a consumer that accounts for 2/3 of economic activity here and more than 1/3 of global economic activity. The overall jobs trend is essentially positive. Obviously, there was some hurricane noise in terms of the near-term data, but we think that is just that. It will be a near-term issue, soon resolved, so long as we can stay on this at least slow growth track.
Having said that, I tease that you've got two favorite real-world indicators that we get next week. Break them down for us and tell us why you think that they're important, because I kind of like looking at these kinds of things as well.
One is how the Patriots do this weekend, right?
No.
The Patriots played last night, so... That's already in the rearview mirror. They squeaked by the Tampa Bay Bucks. Next week, obviously, we get Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, those so big blue-chip bellwether banks report as we kick off earnings reporting season for the third quarter. But we always pay attention to what we call real-world indicators, things that relate to how people actually function in their life, what they're spending on. Winnebago is a classic example where strong sales typically reflect a growing economy, optimism, full employment or near full employment, and slowing sales at Winnebago have tended to presage an economic slowdown, not perfectly, but certainly with enough consistency to merit paying attention. And then J.B. Hunt, road transportation is a clear gauge for us of economic activity. And so we look at those, we look at others, but next week, those are the two earnings, real-world earnings indicators that we'll be paying attention to.
It's intriguing, too. In this jobs report, I just thought it was so interesting because, the top-line number is being so widely dismissed that I think there's some other interesting trends in it, not least of which we've been talking about all the last hour, the continuing decline in retail and the continuing decline in information and media jobs.
There's no question that there are going to be industries in this economy, as there have been throughout the history of our economy, that fall prey to new industrial or technological trends. I think that could clearly be part of it. We also know that there's a real shortage of skilled labor. That's something we hear from both the manufacturing and the service sector side of our economy time and again. And we think that even in the construction industry, the hurricane noise is likely to be impactful in terms of a supply of skilled enough labor, not just materials coming in there. But you're talking about more secular trends. They may be longer lived than just a quarter or two. But so far, they're not negatively impacting our consumers' ability to remain well-employed and to continue to spend.
Assuming they don't work in retail or media. And as someone who, spend a little bit of time in the media, it is of great concern.
Well, retail's never been an easy place to be employed, I don't think. But certainly it's getting increasingly more difficult, especially if you don't work for Amazon.
Hey, some of the areas that you like, Jim, at this point, you call them the U.S. battleship blue chip mega caps. So what kind of companies specifically are you talking about?
So really looking at the top sort of 5,100 names in the S&P 500, and we're doing so through the lens of an expert manager over at Fidelity, Matt Fruhan, who runs mega cap stock. And the reason we like that is it's a great complement to if you have an index 500 fund, or we prefer something like a Vanguard Dividend Growth. It's a great complement in that it really doesn't mimic the S&P 500. So it really skews toward the largest U.S. multinationals within the S&P 500. And we think there's the balance sheets are strong, the cash flow is exceptional. So they're not bulletproof in terms of a bear market, but they certainly ought to be able to hold up reasonably well. They also, the valuations in that camp, even though there's the elephants in everybody's room, tend to be slightly better than the more growth-oriented side of the S&P 500.
You also like financials, and that's ahead of, we're going to hear from the big financials next week in terms of earnings, JP Morgan, Citigroup, you know, go down the laundry list. You like those big cap financials as well?
I do, but I think you have to be very selective. Fidelity, for
right.
example, has a fund called Select Banking. I would prefer to have an active manager whose job is focused on selection
right.
there. But I do think that even if rates hold lower for longer,
right.
Banks are finding ways to make a profit in what remains fairly low levels of rates.
Jim Lowell of Advisor Investments, thank you so much.